Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And good morning and welcome to The Apostle Speaks. My name is Evangelist Hilda, and I am the co-pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries, INC, and we are a church beyond walls. Today we have our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins. She is the elder of the House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. She brings a word from God every Saturday morning at 10:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So first, we would like to thank you for tuning in to The Apostle Speaks. Praise be to God. My devotional message for this morning is entitled, My Face is Shining Upon You. Amen. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Philippians 4:7, where it says, And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. My second scripture reading is coming from Matthew chapter 14, verses 29 through 30, where it says, "Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to shrink, to sink, cried out, 'Lord, save me.'" Praise be to God. Peter lost faith. And my third scripture reading is coming from Hebrews 12 and 2. And it says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Again, the title is, "My Face is Shining Upon You, Beaming Out Peace That Transcends Understanding." You are surrounded by a sea of problems, but you are face to face with me, your peace. As long as you focus on me, you are safe. If you gaze too long at the mirror problem around you, you will sink under the weight of your burdens. When you start to sink, simply call out, "Help me, Jesus, and I will lift you up." The closer you live to me, the safer you are. Circumstances around you are undulating, and there are treacherous-looking waves in the distance. Fix your eyes on me, the one who never changes. By the time those waves reach you, they will have shrunk to proportions of my design. I am always beside you, helping you face today's waves. The future is a phantom seeking to spook you. Laugh at the future. Stay close to me. I hope and pray that this devotional message was an inspiration unto you as it is unto me. Amen. Praise God. Dear Lord, deliver me from the needless pain of envy. You have given me countless blessings. Let me be thankful for the gifts I have received, and let me never be resentful of the gifts you have given others. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. Amen. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord, tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory,
Father God.
Doesn't matter how long that it will take. The Lord knows my heart anyway. So just
made a way. I've overcome the tragedy. The enemy came show me your lifeline, Danny. Pull me from a darkest place, bless me in the richest way. New life, new thought, new swag, I know you wish you had. Took me out when you had the chance, but God redeemed me and he gave me a chance to unlock the gates of hell, your tactics can't prevail. What my God had for me, supersedes the enemy.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. All right. So, unfortunately, our Apostle Mother Wiggins is ill today, so she will not be with us. Amen. And I will bring the message in her place this morning. So just bear with me a second or two, okay? Praise be to God. Okay. So my scripture reading for this morning is coming from Acts chapter 2. Verses 21 through 40. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Okay. So that's Acts chapter 2, verses 21 through 40, where it does say, "But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Praise God. 22. "People of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. But God knew what would happen, and his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to a cross and killed him. But God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life. For death could not keep him in its grip. King David said about this, 'I see that the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me.' No wonder my heart is glad, and my tongue shouts his praises. My body rests in hope, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You have shown me the way of life, and you will fill me with the joy of your presence. Dear brothers, think about this. You can be sure that the patriarch David wasn't referring to himself, for he died and was buried, and his tomb is still here among us. But he was a prophet and he knew God had promised with an oath that one of David's own descendants would sit on his throne. David was looking into the future and speaking of the Messiah's resurrection. He was saying that God would not leave him among the dead or allow his body to rot in the grave. God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witness of this. Now he is exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven at God's right hand, and the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. For David himself never ascended into heaven, yet he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah." Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the others, apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to your children and even to the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God." Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." May the Lord richly add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for all your blessings in life. We are grateful for your mercy and grace. Help us, O Father, to understand and appreciate the real meaning of faith. May we live in faith all our lives. Part of this faith is to trust you for the material things of life as we practice the stewardship of your material blessings. As people of faith, may we always be good stewards in faith. Accept these gifts, we pray. Forgive us our sins, we plead and strengthen. Please, and strengthen us for all of life as we receive inspiration for noble living this time of worship. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen, amen, and amen. Now, Lord God, move self out of the way and allow the Holy Spirit to bring forth what thus says the Lord. Peter preached the first sermon of the gospel age in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. His listeners had been amazed by the miracles they had seen, especially that of speaking in tongues. Amen? Now, before his ascension, Jesus had promised in Acts 1 and 5 ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And in Acts 8:1-8, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. The Lord's promise was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. When believers were filled with the Holy Spirit and yield to him control of their minds and wills. Pentecost, in the primary sense that the Holy Spirit came to begin the gospel age, amen, will not be repeated. It does not need to be repeated any more than Jesus needs to be incarnated again. The Holy Spirit is here. He abides in the heart of every believer. In Romans 8:9, in the RSV says, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. The degree to which a person allows the Holy Spirit to direct and empower his or her life depends somewhat on that person's voluntary dedication. Otherwise, Paul would not have commanded in Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. The tense indicates that the Holy Spirit is to fill our lives continually. Amen? Praise God. My text for this message is coming from Acts 2:36. And our scripture reading was Acts 2:21-40. And Acts 2:36 says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Amen. And my title for this message this morning is Power of the Holy Spirit in Peter's Sermon. This morning, my message is divided into three parts. The first, in Acts 2:22-36, we're going to talk on Peter's sermon, Jesus, whom you crucified, is the Messiah. In verse 22, Jesus was a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs. In verses 23-36, God raised him from the dead. Now, Peter affirmed that Jesus' resurrection was in accord with David's prophecy in Psalms 16:8-10. So turn with me to Psalms 16:8-10, where what it says is, I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad, and I rejoice. My body rests in safety. For you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. Praise be to God. So David's statement confidently that God would not leave him in the grave. Now, many people fear death because they can neither control nor understand it. And we as believers, we can be assured that God will not forget us when we die. He will bring us to life again to live with him forever. Amen? Praise God. Now, these words could not apply to David because he did see corruption, and his place of burial was known to all. Added confirmation that Jesus is alive was the evidence of the power of the Holy Spirit, who was promised by Jesus. His ascension to power fulfills David's prediction in Psalms 110, where it says, "The Lord, Jehovah, said unto my Lord, the Messiah, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool." Now, Acts 2:34-35 recall that on Tuesday before his crucifixion, Jesus had silenced his enemies by appearing to this same scripture passage. So turn with me to Matthew 22, and we're going to read 41 through 46. Matthew 22. Praise God. Praise God. Matthew 22:41-46. And he said, "Then, surrounded by the Pharisees, Jesus asked them a question. What do you think about the Messiah? Whose son is he?" They replied, "He is the son of David." Jesus responded, "Then why does David, speaking under the inspiration of the Spirit, call the Messiah my Lord? For David said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies beneath your feet." Since David called the Messiah my Lord, how can the Messiah be his son? No one could answer him, and after that, no one dare to ask him any more questions. Amen? Oh, man, these people always at the wrong time. Excuse me 1 minute. Yes? Move. Okay, 1 second. Oh, dog. Chico. Amen. Ooh, praise be to God. I apologize for the interruption, but my neighbor got locked out of his home, and I have the spare key to let him in. Amen. Praise God. So, we just finished Acts 22:41-46. Praise God. But, oh my goodness, I'm running over time. The Holy Spirit convicts people of sin. Peter's sermon convicted his messenger. He accused them of murder. In Acts 2:36, where it says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. By crucifying Jesus, they had placed themselves in antagonism to God. They had shouted, crucify him. God said, exalt him. Now the Holy Spirit convicted them of sin. In verse 37, they were prickled in their heart, meaning they were, you know, feeling guilty in their hearts. So Jesus had said that the Holy Spirit would come to convict the world of sin because of their relation to himself. Now, due to the time, I'm not going to read the scriptures, but you can read them when you have time. John 16:7-11. Sin is anything contrary to God's will. These people came to see that in their enmity to Jesus, they were sinning against God. In anguish of soul, they cried out in Acts 2:37, what shall we do? What can we do to get right with God? Excuse me. How do those who find themselves in antagonism to God get right? That's a question to think about. Amen. And number three, Peter's answer in Acts 2:38-40. Verse 38 says, repent. The word has been weakened in translation by its association with penance. The word means change one's mind or change one's attitude. In other words, we are to change our manner of life from what it is now to accord with what God wants it to be. Specifically, we are to change our mind with reference to Jesus. God says that Jesus is Lord and Christ. Anything less than making Jesus Lord of our lives falls short of repentance. Amen? Praise God. Repentance is more than reformation. A person may quit cursing, drinking, stealing, abusing others, and so on, and still fall short of repentance. Repentance is the decision to turn from all sin with God's help. Repentance from sin and faith in Jesus go hand in hand. We cannot believe in Christ for salvation unless we turn from sin. We cannot repent of sin unless we believe in Christ. Now, because if we fall short of accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we are still sinning the greatest of all sins. A soldier described his conversion experience. He said, I was marching in the army of Satan. I heard a new commander, the Lord Jesus, say about faith. I turned my back on the old commander when the new commander said, forward march. I march. Amen. Praise God. Turning our back on the old commander is repentance. Marching with the new commander is faith. Other scriptures, verses, make it plain that a change of life by repentance and faith is the sole condition of acceptance with God. And when you have time, you can read them, Matthew 21:32, Luke 12:3, Luke 24:47, John 3:16-36, John 5:24, Acts 3:19, 16:30-31, 20-21. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That's verse 38. Now, there is a break in between. There is a break in between. Repent and be baptized. That is not retained in the translation. The number changes from plural to singular, and the person from second to third, the meaning is, let every one of you who has repented be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. One who has repented and believed is to be baptized on the authority and command of Jesus. As in Matthew 28:19-20, for the remission of sins. Four, in the Greek, as in English, is ambiguous. For example, he went to town for bread. For I sent him the first, for expresses purpose. The second, for expresses cause. Be baptized for the remission of sins does not mean in order to get remission. It means because of the remission of sins we receive when we repent. Baptism is a symbol of the reality. You can see that in Romans 6:1-6. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, verse 38. This is the Holy Spirit himself who abides in the heart of every believer. Verse 40. Under the leadership and power of the Holy Spirit, we are to save ourselves from this corrupt generation. Praise God. And my conclusion is, the promise of salvation is for all time to all people who answer God's call to salvation by, in Acts 20:21. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us repent for salvation and be baptized in accord with Jesus' command. Because of the remission of our sins, let us give the Holy Spirit free control to consecrate us to Christ and to keep us from worldliness. I pray that this message was a blessing to you as it is unto me. Again, my title was The Power of the Holy Spirit in Peter's Sermon. That praise God. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. All you have to do is to repeat this prayer after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And my closing prayer is coming from June 24 benediction, from June 24 and 25. Now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. All glory to him who alone is God, our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord. All glory, majesty, power, and authority are his before all time, and in the present and beyond all time. Let us all say amen. Praise be to God. So at this time, our very own Barbara Amore is going to come with our poetry at this time. Amen. And we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Barbara, how are you this morning? Sorry for taking up your time.
I'm blessed and how are you, David? How are you?
Blessed, thank you.
Amen. I enjoyed your message.
God bless you. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to be reading a poem from The Fecundity of God, my book of spiritual anthology and poetry. And we acknowledge that it was Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday on yesterday, and to be commemorated on Monday. But right now, I just want to read a poem that I wrote to him about it. A dedication to Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. M, marching motivator. A, actively sought and fought for our faith. R, reverend. T, tenacious. I, inspirational, filled with integrity. N, never gave up. L, lovingly led. U, ultra smooth. T, touched so many. H, had so much heart. E, equality seeker. R, right in this fight. K, kingly in all his ways. I, insightful or insane. N, nothing but extraordinary. G, God-fearing man. J, justice and God on his side. R, revolutionary, but nonviolent. That was our hero, our leader, a king. One who was both hated and loved at the same time. He was a visionary, a dreamer. Must have been sent from heaven above. We have to fight, people, to even get this holiday to honor him. And still some believe it's a day just to play. No, not so. Never forget. Remember the beatdowns? The dog spit on us, spit, the blood, sweat, and the tears, the jail, the lynching, the sit-ins, the demonstrations, the bus boycott, the backdoor service at restaurants. Think on this. He did not have to do it. He sacrificed his life, left his wife and children at home. We know that he was not twice, but we got that stinking feeling twice. So go about your life and live. Thank God for Dr. King. He did what others would not have dared to do. So yes, he salutes you, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and declare loud, let freedom ring.
Amen. That is beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. To honor Dr. Martin Luther King on his birthday today.
Amen. Don't forget the junior. Don't forget the junior.
Junior.
Daddy was a senior, so.
Oh, okay. Yes. That's right. Praise be to God.
Thank you. To God be glory.
Amen. So, at this time, while we're waiting on Pastor Kathy, I will play a selection. Amen.
Amen.
Belongs to you since you closed out on that.
All the honor, all the glory belongs to you. All the worship, all the praise belongs to you. Belong to you. I can't.
Amen. Praise be to God. And now it is time for our talk in the sanctuary by our very own Pastor Kathy and Stephen Dubose from Led by God's Christian Ministry. And we're going to welcome them with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Pastor Kathy. How were you this morning?
God bless you, dear heart. Doing awesome. Thank you.
Praise God. It's in your hands.
Okay, we riding in the cup, so y'all got to rail with us. We have some good stuff today. Good morning, good morning, good morning to everybody. God bless you guys. It's another wonderful Saturday, even though I know the weather man has everybody crazy because they say it's going to snow, it's going to rain, all this stuff. It's still a good morning.
Amen.
It's still a good morning. Whether it rains, whether it snows, it's still a very good morning. A very good morning. I'm just convinced that 2022 is going to be a special, special year. And we thank God for that. Good morning to all of you. Good morning. Trust all is well. Everybody woke up with a smile on their face, saying, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it, because I know I'm glad. We got to continue with our Bible study before we do. Gracious and Heavenly Father, just want to say thank you, oh God. Thank you not just for another day, but another opportunity to come into your presence, oh God, and to share your goodness, your love, your mercy, your grace, to talk about you, oh God, to share the gospel of Jesus. We thank you. We love you. We honor and adore you, oh God. As we prepare ourselves to get into this talk hour, we pray that you will lead and guide us in the way you would have us to go so that no one will be offended, no one will be upset, and all will feel the love of God through this talk hour. We thank you. We love you. We honor and adore you. Have your way right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay. So, good morning, Baptist and Silver. Who else is on the line? Is Sister Barbara here?
Yes.
Oh, good morning, young lady. How are you?
Good morning. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you, young lady?
I'm doing wonderful. You know what? I know you said, it's not that I got on, I stayed on. So thank you for staying on. Thank you for staying on.
Okay.
We are going to continue with Rehoboam because we didn't finish everything that God gave me last week, and I knew we wouldn't. So before we get into it, do you guys remember who Rehoboam was?
Rehoboam or Rahab?
No, Rehoboam that we talked about last Saturday.
King.
Okay.
That was Solomon's son. He took the
right. Yes.
The nation direction. The 10 tribes.
Yes. Yes. He is Solomon's son, King David's grandson. And he was sent to divide the nation. You are absolutely right. Okay. Now, we know that God didn't want David to build his temple because he said David had too much blood on his head. So he let Solomon build it. But the other part is, not only did Solomon build it, he used the people to do the labor. And so the people were upset. They were tired. They're like, okay, we got it done. You know, we're a prosperous nation. Great. Can we relax now? So his son steps in, King Solomon's son steps in, Rehoboam. He steps in, and the people are telling him, okay, your dad did everything he set out to do. We got the temple. The nation is doing good. We okay. Can we relax? And Rayvon says, give me a couple of days to think about that one. And what he did was he sought the advice of others. The elders that were under his daddy, they told him, yeah, do what the people are asking. Let them take a break. They have been working hard for your daddy to build that temple. They have been laboring and they are tired. So, yeah, let them rest so that they can receive you as their new king. Rehoboam said, that's what you think I should do. So he went to his friend and he asked his friend, what do you guys think I should do?
Big mistake.
The friend said, work until long. Just continue to make them labor. Don't give them no rest. Rehoboam says, you're absolutely right. That's what I'm going to do. Now, what was Rehoboam really doing when he went to his friend for advice? What was he doing?
What do you mean, what was he doing?
Because he'd already got the advice from the elders that were with his daddy, and they knew how to make things prosperous. They knew how to get the people to receive Rehoboam.
Yes.
So why did Rehoboam feel like, why do you think Rehoboam felt like he needed to go and seek advice from his friends?
Because I guess he wanted to see what his friends would tell him different from what the elders say. And he felt that the elders were a bit too old and with their traditions and stuff. So his friends were a little younger, so they were more a little radical than the elders were. So he wanted to do things in a different way than what God wanted him to do.
Okay, Sister Walla, what do you think?
My opinion.
Okay.
That King Rehoboam was not following God. The elders were, I believe, following what God had instructed. And they... wanted to tax his father had and did not want to be taxed. Elders told him one thing and the friends told him something else. And in that blowing of the friends, which was not following, caused the separation of the nation.
Right. But guess what? Rehoboam, and I may be saying the name wrong, Rehoboam, he was doing what he wanted to do anyway. He just got the friends to tell him what he wanted to hear. You know how when we seek the advice of others, but we already got a made-up mind how we want to do something? Well, we want to hear somebody else tell us to go ahead and do it.
Oh, so you mean he wanted to...
We go to Sally, Tom, Johnny, and Sue, and we say, what do you think I should do? What do you think I should do? Until we hear the person that says exactly what it is we want to do anyway. Right? And then we go, oh, yeah, you're right. That's what I should do. No, that's what you wanted to do. Rehoboam was trying to show that he had control. I don't have to huddle the elders. I do. I'm running this kingdom. I'm the king. But the elders were trying to get him to understand, if you do it the way we tell you, you'll have the respect of the people. And
right,
they will accept you as king.
Mm-hmm.
He said, oh, yeah, my daddy was hard on you, but I'm about to be harder. I'm going to really make you pay. He had a yoke around your neck. Oh, I will put a scorpion on your neck. Now, how crazy was he?
Right.
very
because
crazy.
The people had already done everything that God wanted them to do. He just wanted a temple, right? A dwelling place with the people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, they could have very well just took a rest. But Rehoboam, who wanted to show, I'm the king now, I do what I want to do, which he really wasn't, because he was doing exactly what God knew he would do, cause
right.
the separation. And that mm-hmm. was the plan all along. God wanted him to do that. And I know some people go, why would God want you to do something wrong? It's not wrong to chastise or to bring correction.
That's
what God was doing. He was bringing correction for the wrong that his daddy had done. I loved it. I loved it. You know, and guess what? The people did not accept Rehoboam as the king. So you can be king all day long. If the people don't listen to you, who are you king over? They don't pay you no attention. That's like adopting a child, and the child say, you ain't my mama, you ain't my daddy, I ain't got to listen to you. And you just send all this money to adopt them,
mm-hmm.
only for them to turn around and say, you ain't my mama, you ain't my daddy. Really? Let me take you back to this agency. You know? Because I thought it was understood.
Mm-hmm.
When I spent my $10,000 to get you, you was now going to be just like a child I gave birth to.
Okay.
But since you don't want that,
mm-hmm.
there was 12 other kids that did want it. I'm going back for one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because guess what? That's the reality of faith. When
yeah.
God asks us to do things, and we don't do it, guess what God is saying? Okay, I got somebody else who will.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never going to run out of willing vessels. That's what God is saying. There's always someone willing to take your place.
That's right.
Right?
Absolutely.
And so I don't know why people in leadership, most of the time leaders, I don't know why people in leadership think that they're irreplaceable, you know?
Oh, no.
Do what they're doing. Really? You got a whole lot of people that can do what you're doing.
Absolutely.
And some people can do it better.
True.
But the thing is, here's the thing. If God put us into a leadership position and we don't know how to lead correctly or we don't know how to make certain decisions,
mm-hmm.
who should we be going to first?
Mm-hmm.
We should be seeking godly counsel.
Right.
Come on, man. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Just like Solomon did. He started out right now. He did start out right.
Because
mm-hmm. he went back to God and said, these are your people. I need you to tell me how to rule over them.
True.
Mm-hmm. So he started out right. And as leaders, whether you lead in a choir, whether you lead in a play, whether you lead in the sanctuary, that you're a pastor or whatever, you need to seek God's counsel first
mm-hmm.
on how he wants you to lead whatever he's put you over to lead.
Amen.
How will your friends or anybody know how God wants you to do it? How
unless
will they know? They don't know.
They don't unless you tell them.
And how can you tell them? You don't know.
Unless God tell you.
Unless God tells you. And that's why we turn to the Holy Ghost and we seek counsel.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Ghost, the teacher, he's going to confirm what we were just told or taught, if this is the route God wants us to go.
Right.
And so you look at Rehoboam, what was the difference? What do you think was the difference between Rehoboam, his daddy, and his granddaddy?
David had a heart for God. Solomon was a very wise man. He loved God also. But he strayed when he married that with the 600 foreigners and had 600 concubines from a foreign nation. So he kind of strayed. And then when Rehoboam came along, he was wicked.
Right. Rehoboam had a different spirit. Right? Regardless of all the wrong that King David did and Solomon did, they still had that respect for God.
Right.
Right? But Rehoboam, he jumped in there. He wanted to do things his way. He, no respect at all. Which is why God chose him. So he can get in there and mess things up. Right? Because we need to understand we're not following the leader, whoever God has put over us. We're still following God.
Yes. That's true.
Right? Because when man get in their feelings and they start doing things their own way, you still need to keep your eyes on God.
Amen.
And even if it looks like, oh, this person is telling us what is right, we're going down the right path now, you still need to seek God's okay for yourself.
Uh-huh.
That's in everything.
Yep.
In everything. Some people think because they got a pastor or a bishop or an apostle or a prophet telling them what to do, that they don't need to confirm it with God.
Oh, no, that's not true. You have to.
You just got a man or a woman's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
They're not God. You still want to get it confirmed through God that this is right for you.
That's right.
And guess what? If that man or woman of God is saying exactly what God wants you to do and what they're saying is the truth, the Holy Ghost will attest to it anyway. He will confirm that thing in your spirit.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So when a husband is talking and they telling you whatever counsel, but something on the inside of you just ain't feeling right, that's the Holy Ghost saying, red alert, red alert.
Intruder, intruder.
That ain't what your father wants you to do. Because, see, just because Sally can do it doesn't mean Kathy can do it.
Yeah.
Or better yet, just because Sally is called to do it and Sally and Kathy is mother and daughter doesn't mean Kathy's called to do it. It may have just been for your mother. And I'm telling you, whatever God is calling us to do, he's going to confirm it all along the way.
Yes.
I got people that think, okay, well, Kathy knows how to work with the kids and have fun with the kids. So, yeah, she's supposed to be over children's ministry. Oh, the devil is alive. I'm supposed to be over no children's ministry. Because I tell you, I go into that children's ministry, I let them kids have fun. And guess what? At the end of Sunday school, they go and go to church, and the church goes, what did you learn in Sunday school? And the kids are going, we learned how to play. What else did she teach you? Nothing. Mr. Kathy, you ain't teach her nothing. Look, I thought I was in there to babysit and let them have fun. I didn't know I was supposed to teach.
But isn't that what this school is about?
Yeah, well, who knew? I'm just a substitute. I ain't the real teacher.
Oh.
What substitute teacher you know going there and actually teach? They go, I'm just here to watch you guys for the day, and then tomorrow your real teacher will be back. Most of the time, that's what substitutes do. We had a girl at our church, and I'm telling you, that girl is Carter, here to kingdom come to take care of children. I look at her and go, my goodness, there's no doubt in anybody's mind that you have been called to take care of kids. I don't even know how to do it. She can get the babies to learn. And I'm thinking, how does she do that? If a baby can talk, she can teach that baby. And I'm looking at them going, wow, because I listen to they review when they come and say, what did you learn today? And I'm looking at them going, wow, how did she keep their attention that long? And so one day I asked her, she said, I don't. She said their attention span is short, so you teach them a little bit, let them go play, bring them back, reiterate what you just taught them, let them go play, bring them back, reiterate one more time, and they got it.
Oh.
I said, who got patience for all of that?
She
Good
did.
Lord. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she would go in a store, and she'll see somebody kid doing something, you would have thought that was her child. Because she zones in on children once she see them. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Okay, yeah, no, I'm not called for that. I can help you out. But that ain't what I call her.
Her gift is children.
Yes, she does. She really does. Now, how many of us this day and time feel like we got an idea, a good idea of what God has called us to do? Does anybody have a good idea what God has called you to do?
Spread the word about Jesus and spread the good news.
Okay, but what position do you believe God has put you in to do that?
I write, I sing, I teach.
Okay, so that's where your anointing lies, in those areas.
I don't know, I guess so.
What do you mean you don't know?
I don't know, I don't call it an anointing, but
okay, let me help you. When you teach, when you write, when you do your poetry, are other people blessed by what you do?
I believe they are.
Then you're anointed to do it. That's the only way people can get blessed by what you're doing. God has something on you to draw them to what you're doing, so that they can receive something out of it and be blessed. We've heard your poem. We've heard some of your writing, so we know you're anointed to do that. So we can attest to that. We know that you've been called to write poetry. You are a King David in a woman's version.
Wow.
Yeah. You listen to some of her poetry. And then you look back at, not King David, King Solomon. King Solomon wrote Proverbs, and it's all about poetry, right?
Yes.
Well, you look at him and King David, and you say, you know what? She's a psalmist in a woman's version. Because she can take the love of God and the Holy Ghost direct her to put it into words in such a way that it's just absolutely beautiful poetry.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, when you will hear it, they're blessed by it.
Yeah,
that's true.
Thank you,
especially on the days when she says, I just got this an hour ago. I just got this this morning. You go, wow, you just got that?
And I see that, okay.
And through the word, is you can tell that that came straight from the Holy Ghost.
The way it's worded, yes.
The language that she's using, that the Holy Ghost dropped out of her spirit.
Yes. It's spiritual.
You know, so that's a wonderful thing, and it's a wonderful gift.
Amen.
Now, try imagine someone coming telling you, you know what, you're supposed to be the leader of the country. Because ultimately, that's what a king was back in the day. So now they're saying, you're supposed to be the queen, and not like the people are using queen, the term queen today. No. All the ladies call each other queens now. But I'm saying, what if the nation, country, whatever, can said, you're supposed to be our nation's president? What would you think?
Who are you talking to?
Anybody that's listening.
I would think that's an honor.
You would think that there was?
I say I would think that's an honor. Apparently they see something in you, some leadership, some compassion, some kind of thing, what you should think, that they think that you can do it. Exactly. When somebody comes and they give you that kind of honor and they say that about you, you know, nine times out of ten there's something in you
that's going to embrace what they're saying because you feel like that is in you, right? And it's an honor that God would allow someone else to see it.
Definitely.
Because what he's doing is trying to get you to come forth and what he's called you to do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And sometimes that means just getting out of the comfort zone and getting into other areas that you really didn't think you would ever end up
here.
Look at Evangelist. She didn't think she was going to be an evangelist.
Father's
thing from my mind.
But here's the thing. I bet if you go back to people in our neighborhood that knew us growing up, even family members, and you say, you know, Hilda is an evangelist, they will go, I can see that. Yeah, I can see that. Because the way she was loving on everybody. You know what I'm saying? Trying to bring peace in everybody. You know what I mean? Trying to break up fights. So, yeah, they're going to look and go, I can see her being like that. Yeah. Because she was already displaying the love of God through her lifestyle. She would feed anybody that came in her presence. She would help anybody that needed help. She got to bring peace all over the place, you know. Mm-hmm. And you're like, stop, we're going to fight. And she's going, no, there's no need for all this, now. And you're going, oh, we're going to fight. And she's going, now. So you could see the love of God even before she stepped into the calling of an evangelist. Right? Evangelists are supposed to build people up in Christ. Yeah. We're supposed to educate them. And I think that, you know what? It's a sad thing when you go back to your neighborhood or someplace and they say, well, you know Kathy preaches. And they go, Kathy who? And you go, you know Kathy, the one that grew up with us. Kathy Johnson, get out of here. And who is listening to her preaching?
Ooh,
that's a sad thing.
What kind of friends you have?
You know, it's a sad thing that if someone goes to your neighborhood and they say this is what you're doing, and the people are shocked, That's a sad thing. Because God didn't call you when you became an adult. He called you in your mother's womb. So they should have already been seeing evidence that that was within you. You know, that that's the kind of person that you are.
Yeah.
Oh, Pastor Kat.
Yes?
If I can say something, look at Saul. Saul was the total opposite of what he ended up being. So they didn't see that in him either. When they're prosecuting and persecuting Jews.
Oh, yes.
You're talking about Saul as in Paul or Saul as in Saul?
No.
I'm talking about Saul who became Paul. His name got changed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay. So you're saying the people didn't see who he was?
Nobody saw who he was when he came around persecuting the Jews and killing them and all of that. No, nobody saw his potential.
Nope, they were all afraid of him.
And you know why that's a good example? Because God says, even if you saw this person acting like this and doing that, it does not mean that I didn't choose them. It does not mean they were not called to do a work for me. Because everybody has an opportunity to display a change of heart. So you could go back to people now and say, this person is whatever. And they go, what? Get out of here. I didn't see that. Okay, it wasn't for you to see. Because
right.
If it was, God would have let you see it.
Mm.
But it doesn't mean because this person was rotten to the core that God couldn't change their heart and still use them.
Absolutely.
Because God already knew they were going to be a little rotten asshole to start out with. But later on, when they came and they converted over, that they would be sold out for the word of God.
Yes.
Yeah, God already knew.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said, like Sister Warren said, no one saw Saul, you know, because he was killing folks. He was killing the very one he ended up leading over. But my thing is, they didn't know he had that goodness in him. In fact, they had a hard time accepting it at first.
Exactly.
But the thing is, God is letting us know through his life and others that even though they started out doing this, they ended up doing this.
Right.
That means anybody that wants to can have a change of heart.
Mm-hmm.
They can change. God can help them to change their lifestyle.
Absolutely.
And end up being used by God.
Amen. Amen.
Right? I'm looking at God promised King David somebody from his family would always reign in the kingship.
Right.
His family would always be there. And guess what? He didn't break his promise. He just didn't let Rehoboam rule over everything. He let him divide the nations and gave him a very small piece to rule over. But he still was ruling.
Mm-hmm.
So God didn't break his promise, but he didn't give him as much as he would have.
Okay.
Had there not been
I think also that Solomon had more than one son. So one went.
Oh, yeah, he had more kids. He had more kids. Yes, he did.
But I'm saying that he had another son that became the king of Judah. So Rehoboam sent tribes and went to Israel, and I think it was Jeroboam that stayed with Judah, and he reigned in Judah with two tribes.
Mm.
So he did not break his promise to King David, but here's the thing. You could have had the whole family could have been ruling together, but instead they were divided, right?
And that was divided.
So you get a little piece, you get a little piece, you get a little piece, you know?
It was all in God's plan.
Yes, it was. It was. Everything that happens, people don't believe it, but everything that happens is still in God's plan.
Right.
And I'm talking about the things that God puts before us to do, and we don't do them, we do what we want to do. No, that wasn't God's plan for you. That was you not accepting his plan. But he knew you were going, he knew you were not going to accept.
Anyway.
Even though that wasn't his plan for you, he already knew you wasn't going to accept the plan. You didn't catch him off guard by saying, oh, God, no, I'm not going to do that. He already knew you was going to say, no, I'm not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the good thing about it is that we have a choice.
Yes.
Exactly. Exactly.
We can choose to do the right thing or the wrong thing.
You know what? I love the fact that God allows us to make a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Because we're human beings. We're not robots. So, and here's the thing. You even had a choice to love or not love your parents. Love or not love your family. That was a choice. And most people, they make choices based on what happened to them throughout their lifestyle. You got some young lady saying, oh, no, I don't want nothing to do with my mother. I don't want nothing to do with my father. And you related to how they were brought up. Me, I was loving on my parents, you know, because my parents was loving on us. And even when they beat us, and, oh, God, did I get some beat, they still were showing us love.
It's hurt,
you know. I got the feeling because of things that I did that was wrong.
Right.
It didn't mean they didn't love me. It meant they loved me enough not to want to let me do it again and again and again and mess up my life. You know?
Discipline.
Yeah. And you got some kids that get beat by their parents. And to this day, they still don't want nothing to do with their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, oh, good Lord, because of a beating?
Yeah, some of them.
Because I know people like that. And I'm saying, I was there. I saw this child get one beating. And because of that one beating, she never spoke to her daddy again.
Mm.
Now, what kind of nonsense is that?
Hmm.
Well, that's because that was in that person to begin with. You know what I mean? Because I don't believe one beating caused you to be that way.
Nah.
I believe it was underlined with other feelings, other things that were going on in your life. I really do.
Yeah.
And that person, I could see there was other things going on in their life. Because you figure, if you got siblings, right? But your siblings are only your father's kids. They're not your mother's kids. It's your father's kids. So the siblings that are your father's kids, they're looking going, how come you got to spend so much time with dad and I didn't get no time with him? So I don't want to be bothered with him. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And because of that, they feel like they missed out on spending time with the dad or the mom. Well, my thing is, you're not dead yet. So why can't you start making up for that time? You know, enjoy the time you got with her now.
Some people think it is that way. They just
really?
Have, yeah, they just have that animosity in their hearts towards the parent that they feel that they can't forgive them. But you're not forgiving them for them. You're forgiving them for yourself.
That's right. That's what God tells us.
Mm-hmm.
He tells us, you don't know how to forgive others.
how do you expect me to forgive you?
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Calling to God, you got to have forgiveness in your heart.
Amen.
It's okay. It's just this shoulder right here. So, you know, if people don't realize, they saying, I don't know why God is not answering our prayers. I don't know why God is not doing this. Then you got to take a look at self sometimes and go, wait a minute.
What am I doing wrong?
Do you have unforgiveness? Do you have meanness? Do you have all this in your heart?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And then you go to God and go, oh, God, I need you to bless me with. And God is saying, I will. As soon as you go forgive Bobby, as soon as you go love on your neighbor, as soon as you go, and guess what? Because you don't think you've done anything wrong, you don't want to change because you don't think you've done anything wrong.
Yeah, but you have.
Yeah, well, there are people out there that don't think they've done anything wrong.
Yeah.
Because you say, okay, you need to let that go. And when we say let that go, what we're really saying is you need to forgive that person and move on. But they
right.
say, oh, I ain't let nothing go. I ain't let nothing go. Mm-hmm. You don't get
I'm
to do what you want to be and think I won't let it go.
Yep, to the day I die, I'm never going to forgive
them. What they're really saying is, no, I'm not allowed to forgive them.
Right.
Right? And so they stay in a place of separation with God, and then they don't even realize it's because they made the choices they made. Because when we choose to not love, when we choose not to forgive and all of that, we're saying to God, I don't belong to you. You're not my daddy. Because we're not displaying his characteristics in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell people that all day long, they're not going to believe that. They're not going to accept that they've done anything wrong.
Exactly. Some people are just very stubborn.
In fact, if you add, they
gonna,
get that scripture where it says you can see the splinter in your brother's eye, but you can't see it in your own.
Absolutely.
Then you can go to your brother and tell him what he's doing wrong.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Exactly. Well put. Well put. That's exactly what it is. You know? Look, I'm the first person. I might do stupid things, but later on when I calm down, I call up everybody in the most, oh, I'm sorry. You know, I don't know what came over me. I know what came over me. This was flesh.
Yep.
This flesh rolled up and had me acting all crazy.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't put it under protection. I just did what the flesh wanted to do. You know? But I don't have a problem going to anybody saying sorry.
Right.
You know why? Because if I did have a problem with it, how could God use me?
He can't.
How can God trust me with his gospel if I'm not going to live by it? You know? So,
yes.
I don't know. We have finished talking about Rehoboam and how he did what he wanted to do. The thing of it is, you step into a kingdom that is already set. It's already prostrate. So why not let the people rest? The town, the kingdom is prospering. The kingdom is doing good. They don't need to continue to be having a yoke around their neck. But you got, you know what the sad part is? You got people that lead that away. It's called having a controlling spirit. That's what that is. You got to control everything the people under you do. How about you just tell them what needs to be done And they use their gifts and talents to get it done for you. What do you care how they got it done? You just want to make sure it gets done.
Mm-hmm.
But if it gets done and then you look at it and go, that's not how I wanted it done. Now you need to do that. But they did everything legal. They did everything right. Come on now. That's someone that wants to control the people. They want to control the people.
Mm.
And that's not a good leader. Really, it's not. Oh, one last thing before we close. Had a young man, he's a spiritual son of ours. And I said, "Damn, son, I haven't heard from you." He said, "Mom, you don't even know. We were going through." I said, "You was?" I said, "And you chose not to call me?" He said, "Well, I'm trying to show my wife I have faith." And I said, "You think because you asked somebody to pray for you that means you don't have faith?" He said, "Yeah."
"No."
I said, "Oh, my goodness, where were you taught at?" I said, "I thought I taught you better than that." I said, "Son, you got pastors, you got bishops, you got everybody asking for prayer. It does not mean you don't have faith. That's not what that means. Because if you didn't have faith, you wouldn't even be asking nobody to pray for you. Because you don't believe it's going to do anything anyway."
Right.
She said, "Oh, I thought if I asked for prayer, that means I didn't have..." I said, "Oh, my goodness, no. That's not what that means, though. That's not what it means at all."
Mm-mm.
You know? Well, the sad part about that is you got people that go to church and they're in there and they're hearing the word and they still are uneducated as to the ways of God. Because he really thought if he asked a prayer, that would mean he does not have faith. Wow, that's a sad one. I don't know about anybody else, but if I'm teaching some, I'm grooming people some things, my thing is at the end, I like to get some feedback because I want to know that you learned something. And I want to know you learned what I was trying to teach you. And there wasn't no misconception of what I was trying to say. Like, you'll say something and someone will perceive it one way, and you go, "No, that's not what I was saying."
But I thought that there was no wrong answer.
Huh?
I thought that there was no wrong answer.
Yeah, but I said as a teacher, okay, you're in school, you're teaching. And then at the end of the day, you say that, okay, let's go over what we learned today.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, "What did you learn about Lucy?" And they go, "Well, you know, Lucy, she was sad. She didn't want to get along with her husband." And you're going, "Wait a minute, that ain't what I said. I said she was funny because she was always acting like she didn't get along with her husband." And they go, "No, I thought she was sad because she didn't get along with her." "No, she was funny because she always acted like she wasn't doing what he told her to do." Did you see what I'm saying? So you want to make sure, I do it all the time. I say, "Lord, help me to teach in a manner that they better understand your word." I don't want to teach nobody and the teaching does nothing but confuse them. I don't want to be that kind of teacher. I don't want to confuse people.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to come into the knowledge of who God is and what his word is really saying.
May
yeah.
I say something?
Yes, please.
As a teacher, sometimes the question is misunderstood, so it's also a good practice to ask the student, the class, whoever you're teaching, to regurgitate that question that was asked so that they can understand what you're saying, so that they can't come home you know, come back the next day after doing the homework and say, this is what I thought you said. You let them give back to you what you gave to them. And if they don't understand it, you correct it and say it in a way that they can understand so that there's no misconception about what's being said. It takes a lot of time, you know, but if you care about your students, that's what most people will do.
Exactly.
That's what bring them back to you as to their understanding. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And that's good. That is very, very good. Get them to repeat back what you said. Because
right.
if they don't understand it, they won't be able to repeat it.
And not even
but if
repeat
they understand it, then they can repeat
right.
what you just, they can repeat the question back.
Oh, not even
wow,
to
that's
repeat
good.
In their own words. Because they can repeat it and still not know what they're talking about or know what you're talking about. But just to put it in their own words, what you said, and give it back to the teacher.
Exactly. Good, good. You're right. And they may not necessarily say it the way you say it, said it, but if it means the same thing, then you understand that they
good.
Have an understanding
yes.
of what you just said. That's good.
Yes.
I love it. Well, ladies, we're out of town driving on this road, and I'm sorry y'all hear all this noise rattling in the background, but thank you guys for getting on and holding on. Next week, we're moving on to something else. But thank you, thank you, thank you for participating. Sister Barbara, can you close us out of prayer, please?
Precious and Heavenly Father, once again, a few of your humble servants come to give you praise, glory, and honor. Lord God, we thank you for waking us up this morning, starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see a day we've never seen before. We thank you for the teaching, for the study. Thank you for Pastor Kathy, Pastor Stephen, Pastor, Evangelist Hilda, and anyone else that's on the line, Father God. Thank you for myself, God. Thank you for breath, for strength, for wisdom and knowledge and comprehension, Father God. We thank you for all that you are and all that you will ever be to us. And Lord, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. So thank you. Thank you, thank you. Forgive us of our sins, of omission and commission, and to God be all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor in Jesus' matchless name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Thank
beautiful.
You. Love you guys.
Love
you
too.
Have a good weekend.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Yes. I think you were still here. God willing, we'll see tomorrow.
Yes, ma'am.
God's willing.
Okay, have a nice one.
Huh?
I said, God willing. Pastor Kathy,
yes.
You still there?
No, she gone.
Oh, I thought, okay. Have a blessed day. Love you.
You too. Love you too.
Shalom.
Shalom. Heaven's door. So I'm going to go.
for sending Jesus Christ to die for my sins. Jesus, I ask you to come into my life right now. Be my Lord, Savior, and friend. Let your Holy Spirit abide in me. Help me to follow you all the days of my life as your disciple. I thank you for forgiving me and receiving me right now. Any prodigal sons and daughters out there that would like to be rededicated, let us pray. God, I am sorry for my sins. I am sorry that I have strayed from you. I ask you for your forgiveness. I repent for my sins. I don't want to live like a prodigal son any longer or a prodigal daughter. Renew, revive me as I once again follow you. I thank you, Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.